Next item, 727.
Establish an annual residential rental unit registration fee to fund the Housing Bureau's Rental Services Office from the Housing Investment Fund.
Colleagues, I'm pleased to bring forward the rental registration fee, which has long been a commitment and a priority of mine to help support the Office of Renter Services and establish a system to collect more accurate data of the rental market in Portland. In 2017, we set a rental registration requirement for all units in the city of Portland. In the first year of registration, we did not charge a fee. That was deliberate. We wanted to encourage voluntary compliance for landlords, but it's been clear from the beginning that a fee would need to be established. We asked the Revenue Division and the Portland Housing Bureau to return to us this year with the established fee. Since 2017, we've made consistent progress in increasing the city's role in landlord-tenant law and services, including establishing the Rental Services Office, the Rental Services Commission, adopting local landlord-tenant law, increasing landlord-tenant services, and increasing training and education services. Roughly half the work being completed is funded with one-time funds, and we need to find a sustainable and responsible way to pay for the Rental Services Office. Portland is one of the only cities our size to not have a rental registration system in place and fees to cover the basic services. We're behind the curve, and this is an imperative first step to allowing us to have a more robust and streamlined support for renters in our community. This council has also made it clear the importance for data-driven policy making. This fee will support the maintenance of an expanded registration system, something that I'll be back in the fall bump to ask for support of this council for funding for the procurement of the expanded system so that we have data not just on the number of units and their location, but accessibility, general unit characteristics, and other relevant market data. The recommended fee is in response to the budget note we included in our adopted budget this fiscal year, and it's reasonable when compared to other cities in the region and across the country. I'm now going to turn this over to Director Callahan and Director Lanham and their team, who can give us more background on the process that got us here today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you and good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Shannon Callahan of the Portland Housing Bureau. Matthew Schibold and I will first provide you some context for the item before you today, including an overview of the services being provided by the Rental Services Office and details regarding the implementation of the rental registration system. And then Thomas Lanham and I will talk about some of the factors that we considered in crafting the recommendation before you today. In 2017, the Rental Services Office was established within the Portland Housing Bureau. The Rental Services Commission was also established. It is a 12-member commission which serves as the primary public forum for discussion of rental housing law and regulation, renter-owner programs, and services within the City of Portland. In 2017, Council also authorized new funding to increase direct services to provide additional legal assistance, as well as expanded education and training services. In addition, 2017 was a busy year, and Council passed the temporary relocation assistance policy and tasked the Housing Bureau with leading a technical committee to address and make recommendations regarding a permanent relocation assistance policy. Last year, Council approved the rental registration requirement, requiring that all units, rental unit owners in the City of Portland register their units through the business license tax platform. As the Mayor mentioned, to encourage voluntary compliance, Council did not set a fee for the system within the first year and backfilled the expenses of the system with one-time resources. Without a rental registration system, it is impossible for us to determine who may be providing rental units within the City of Portland. To ensure that we were reaching out to as many property owners as we could, we sent a mailer in collaboration with the Revenue Division to all property owners in the City of Portland regarding the rental registration requirements. Also in 2018, Council passed a permanent relocation assistance policy and tasked the Housing Bureau with administering the policy as well as processing exemptions. Since the passage of that policy, the Housing Bureau has provided landlords technical assistance and processed exemptions without charging a fee for the service. The Housing Bureau has also instituted new culturally specific fair housing enforcement programs and piloted an expungement program in 2018. This brings us to our current item this afternoon, which is talking about what we're doing in 2019. As you know, Council recently adopted a security deposit requirement as well as application and screening criteria requirements, and tasked the Housing Bureau and the Revenue Division to bring you a rental unit registration fee. We are also implementing a mediation services pilot, which you just heard in the prior item, and we are increasing our education and training services for both landlords and tenants. The goal of our service to landlords in our increased tenant and training services will be so that they both understand and comply with local, federal, and state landlord-tenant laws. And it is our hope that we will, by doing so and providing those services, reduce conflicts between landlords and tenants and reduce liability for landlords that they may have if they don't understand the changes that have recently occurred both at the state and local level. Going forward in 2020, we believe that if the fall bump request that the mayor just mentioned in his opening remarks is approved, we would procure an enhanced rental registration system and work with our Rental Services Commission on recommendations for the type of data to be collected. We would anticipate bringing that system online in 2021 in alignment with the timing for the new business license tax platform. As well, we anticipate continuing to increase our education and training for both landlords and tenants. And now to give you an overview generally of our plans in more details for the rental registration system, I'll turn it over to Matthew Schwald.
So for the record, again, Matthew Schwald with the Housing Bureau. And as the mayor and Shannon have both mentioned, council last year passed the registration requirement. And we'd like to thank our partners of the Revenue Division for working with us to make that happen. We were able to use the business income tax filings as the mechanism in order to register units, but that has significant limitations on the data we can collect. It's really, you know, it's the address of the unit, the location of the unit, and we can, through the filings, try and understand the number of units per landlord. But there have been conversations that we've had over the past couple of years as City Council has considered various local landlord-tenant policies and services where there have been questions that the Housing Bureau hasn't been able to answer and a general desire for additional data. And so we have contacted some vendors and to try and get some initial preliminary bids on an off-the-shelf configurable system that has the ability to collect, as the mayor mentioned, data on accessibility, other unit characteristics, other market data. And so should the Housing Bureau be appropriated funding for that, we will go through a process with the Rental Services Commission, with council members, with the public, to have a discussion about what data we should be collecting in order to better inform our public policy decisions.
As to the recommendation for a fee, the Housing Bureau worked with the Rental Services Commission, which in April of this year recommended that if a fee were to be adopted, that the fee should be administratively simple and easy to communicate, and that a uniform flat fee would best accomplish this goal. We considered Council's direction and are recommending a fee that will fully cover the unfunded rental services office costs, provide resources for maintenance costs for an expanded rental registration system, and ensure that the fee revenue will be used exclusively for rental services offices costs and the costs of the Revenue Division in administering the system. Therefore, we are recommending an annual rental registration unit fee of $60 per year, with an exemption for regulated affordable housing and adjustments with the Consumer Price Index West. With the average market rent in Portland equating to $1,425 per month, the fee equates to approximately 1/3 of 1% of the annual average rent in Portland. And now I'd like to turn it over to Thomas Lanham to add some comments from the Revenue Division.
Thank you. Thomas Lanham from the Revenue Division. I'll keep it brief. I think it's mostly been covered. Generally, a fee needs to provide some benefit back to those who pay it. And this one does through the services provided by the Rental Services Office. One of the top considerations that we have in revenue for any tax or fee is administrability. And we look for a structure that is very easy to verify, explain, and understand. This fee meets all three of those tests in terms of being very straightforward. As far as the rate itself, we set it at $60 because this is the rate we feel is most likely to cover the costs of the program as we understand them today. We are estimating the revenue yield at this point with no prior track record to look at, so we may need to make an adjustment in a prior year, and we've been given prior authority by this body to make that change administratively if it's necessary. So I will stop there and happy to answer any questions.
I have a big few questions, Mayor.
Commissioner Fish.
I just have some basic questions. It's an excellent presentation. Director Callahan, the $60 that we're proposing to charge, mm-hmm. how does that relate to the charges at sister cities that you canvassed?
If I might, Commissioner, thank you for the question. Carla, would you turn up back on the PowerPoint for a moment? Commissioner, I'd actually like to turn it over to Matthew Schaubel to answer a little bit more of your questions as he's done the research on all the sister jurisdictions. Sure. But we are putting up a slide for you so that you can see some comparators of other jurisdictions.
And I'd like a very high-level answer if I could.
Great.
You don't need
sure.
to.
So the back page of the memo also includes additional cities, but we included these five not only to illustrate the fees in different cities, but different structures. And I'll hit them at a very high level. Gresham charges a first unit fee and then a variable additional unit fee. Minneapolis charges a building fee and a unit fee. Seattle charges a first unit fee and then a flat additional unit fee. Philadelphia has a flat per unit fee, similar to the fee we're proposing. And then Dallas has a variable fee structure for single family versus multifamily. So as far as rates, fairly comparable. There are various structures, but we have heard from the jurisdictions that we've contacted, as well as stakeholders, that a flat fee is the easiest to administer and to understand.
Thank you. Director Callahan, it's 2 years from now, and we're getting a presentation from the auditor on her first audit of this program. How do we ensure that the proceeds of this fee are dedicated to a particular account and not interspersed with other funds?
Commissioner, we have ensured that they would be going into a special fund within the Housing Bureau's Housing Investment Fund for the Rental Services Office only. And we would look to our budget office as well as council through the budget process to ensure that those fundings remain in that.
So it goes into a dedicated fund and then is distributed?
It would go into a dedicated fund. The only cost that would be taken out would be the cost that the Revenue Division has already indicated would be their cost of administering the system.
To Thomas Lanham, what do we anticipate will be the compliance rate? When you look at this and you forecast over the next 5 years, obviously, we have some experience with the arts tax, although that may not be comparable. We have some experience with other taxes and fees in terms of compliance. What are you predicting with respect to this fee?
Initial compliance, we think, will be about 60%, climbing to 90% as the program matures. So our overall business license tax compliance rate is just north of 90% at the peak of each year. This program ultimately should mirror that. Particularly for two reasons. One, we have recently executed a contract to replace all of our databases and revenue, and we'll soon be able to leverage federal taxpayer information in a way that will help us reveal rent incomes, basically Schedule Cs from 1040 filings that we can't currently access. So we will, in a very real way, be able to pinpoint who we should be hearing from around this. And then, of course, the second benefit is in approximately FY21-22, along in there, we will be implementing e-filing, which will also make it very easy for people to comply with this. If they're using TurboTax or H&R Block, this will just be another page in a wizard that will be presented to the taxpayer to comply.
And finally, thank you. For similar kinds of fees, what tools do you have available to you to ensure compliance?
The primary tool that we're going to be using is the federal taxpayer information.
No, but that's how you cross-reference. I'm talking about what's the You have a carrot and a stick. What's
sure.
the stick?
So any taxpayer that fails to comply with all the tenets of our tax code is subject to up to a $500 civil penalty per year per jurisdiction, but in this case it would just be Portland, it wouldn't be the county. So there is the ability to implement a penalty, and that would be something that we would be looking at. Given the amount, it would depend on taxpayer circumstances. If the taxpayer owed not only the rental registration fee, but say had other outstanding tax debt, then the full $500 would certainly be implicated in that circumstance. It's likely that we would promulgate an internal policy or procedure to perhaps bring in a lower penalty. The penalty is up to $500 is our authority, so we could make it a little more reasonable given that this is a $60 fee.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful if it's, I think a penalty that's almost 10 times the fee is going to be suspect. So I would look forward to hearing from you on that. And I'm assuming, Director Callahan, that we'll be doing aggressive outreach and education in years one and two in aid of making sure people know that whatever we land on here, that they have to do it. And we may even have a golden period where if they have a good faith reason for not complying, they don't get dinged?
I think so, Commissioner, and I also think that we are currently the Revenue Division is currently receiving filings in the present time from tax filers, and so they 2019 is the first year of the registration with voluntary compliance, no fee. So I know as we're gathering more information and they're registering and ahead of time, it'll be easier for us to communicate with them about the fee.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for your work on this. Could you explain a bit more about the exemption for affordable housing under the guidelines of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development to households earning no more than 60%? How does somebody qualify for that?
So, Commissioner, we would be proposing that this is regulated affordable housing, so agreements that landlords have in place with the city or other jurisdictions that have assured that they are keeping rents at 60% or below. So it would not be a market solution necessarily, but where there are regulated units that are requiring you to keep your rents affordable at 60% AMI or below.
Did you consider having an exemption for any affordable housing? And saying what that is.
So you mean looking at the market to try to determine what the rents weights were, and if their rents were a lesser amount than what the...
Yeah.
We considered a variety of different options, but we currently have no way to collect data presently on rents or any way to verify what the private market is actually charging. I know Thomas and I have actually recently had a discussion about the possibility of doing that in future years based on changes that'll be implemented through the upgraded business license tax platform. But at the present moment, there is not a way for us to do that in a verifiable way.
What's about exempting mobile home parks? Because from what I've been reading, rents there tend to be much less because they're just renting the ground. So you mentioned it's 1/3 of 1% for the average home, but it's more like 1% if you're only paying $500 in rent.
I would have to defer. I'd take a moment to make sure that the definition of dwelling unit would actually include space rental, and I'd want to double check, and actually I'd look to Matt Schabold on that. But I would say that many mobile home situations are not just space rental, but you're actually renting. Many folks living in those parks are not necessarily owners of their coach, but actually renting both the unit and the space. Matthew, would you proffer a...
Yeah, they are, under the current requirements, they are rental dwelling units under ORS 90, state landlord-tenant law, and would be subject to the registration requirement. And there's, the census estimates around 900 manufactured home rentals in the city of Portland.
So that probably should be something that should be considered, is exempting them, because we know that they are some of the most naturally affordable rental housing in Portland. And that just seems like an expensive $2,000 a month condo in the Pearl, paying the same $5 as somebody who's living in a manufactured home park just doesn't seem reasonable. Did you look at other kinds of fees? Somebody suggested, why don't we have a fee on the new construction of apartments and condominiums that are valued at over a certain amount of money? Was that considered?
For the rental registration fee itself?
Mm-hmm.
We do have a separate excise tax that is actually levied on the new construction of apartments and dwellings in the city of Portland, and all of those funds flow for the development of new affordable housing. So we actually do have a construction excise tax in existence in the city of Portland, which captures that new development. So we did not consider a different structure for the rental registration fee that would charge only new units being created versus older existing units. Frankly, I think our rationale and the rationale would be that the services that we're providing and the data that we're trying to seek collecting out of the rental registration system are necessary in both circumstances, whether they're existing units or whether they're newer units. So we're getting phone calls from landlords. We're doing a service for landlords, whether they're landlords of a new building or whether they're landlords of an existing stock.
Okay. And are landlords allowed to add this new fee onto their existing leases, or do they have to wait until the lease renews to pass it along to tenants?
Commissioner, any rent increase that they were increasing by would be subject to state and local laws. I could not speak about individual situations that a landlord may be in a particular lease, or whether they've already made an increase in excess either of state or local law. I could not answer that blanketly.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer either. I'm wondering at what point this gets, who pays it this year? And I'm wondering about implementing it right now rather than giving some notice so that landlords can build it into their budgets. Is this intended to go into effect right away?
It's intended to go into effect for the next for this tax year and next year's tax filing, so in 2020.
So it would be due in April of 2020.
Starting on the right. On the implementation date of this, so 6 months worth.
Effectively, the effective implementation date of today's action is January 1st, 2019. However, payment is not due until April 15th of 2020. Many filers will extend. So some leases will be caught wholly, there would be no opportunity for revisiting the contract versus others would expire between now and April.
I thought we were not allowed to do retroactive taxes.
Yes, we can. Oh. We can. And given the materiality of the $60, that didn't raise a flag for us in revenue.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Good presentation. Thank you. Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
13.
Okay, why don't we do 2 minutes, and if everybody could try and stay within the 2 minutes, we'd appreciate it. If you could call up the first three, please.
First three, please, coming up are Mark Rogers, Kathy Rogers, and Michael Havlick, I believe it is.
Yeah, and by the way, we're not taking a vote on this today, so if people want to provide written testimony, we'll certainly accept that as well. Good afternoon, Walter.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being here.
My name is Mark Rogers, and I'm an apartment building owner with my wife, Kathy. We own a building on 19th and Hawthorne, and we provide an affordable housing alternative in that area. On the 26th, Oregon Live came out with an article that basically outlined this proposal. And so I was sitting with my 21-year-old son over the weekend, and we decided to look at all the comments in the section, and so we went through those, and we
you were looking at the comments on Oregon Live.
Yes, the comments on Oregon Live.
Before you go any further, that's a cry for help, and I want to say we discourage you from doing so, just for your own mental health.
Okay. Well, do you mind if I finish what I have to say?
Well, in the spirit in which I offered it, which was humorous, I appreciate the spirit in which you made your comment.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Fair enough. The majority of the comments were opposed to the fee structure. And so I guess my comment is that if you're not paying attention to what people are saying, then are you really listening to your constituents? I also talked to, I'm a commercial realtor, I also talked to a client of mine, and he shared an email exchange between himself and one of you. And I'm going to read that, and it's going to be anonymous because I don't feel like I need to point anybody out specifically. But he said, so to answer your question, I would likely email all of my tenants and let them know that due to policies of city council, their rents would be going up by $25 a month. Most of my current tenants have not seen a rent increase from me in 2 or 3 years, and I think you would consider the bulk of them affordable. Councilperson responded, thank you for your message. I share your concerns. Will you pass this fee along to your renters? I think I would if I rented a home. So I think it's easy. It's a very polarizing subject, and I think it's easy to look at landlords and demonize them as uncaring and interested only in the bottom line. So I'd like to share a story, and it might take more than 27 seconds. But for the last 11 years, I've had somebody living on my building on 19th and Hawthorne for free. We pay his utilities, and we provide him with a cell phone, probably $1,000 a month, maybe $12,000 a year. We don't have a formal agreement. We don't even have a handshake. But what we have done is he looks out for my interests, and I look out for his. And I think that's the right thing to do. I think it's a Portland thing to do. And I think that's what we've shown that we're willing to do and have done for the last 11 years. So that's really my closing. And I would hope that you would reconsider this and maybe took more input.
So, Mayor, can I just make one quick comment?
Commissioner Fish.
My inept attempt at humor, which you very nicely parried, I was pointing out the fact that not only is the internet not the first or second or 10th place I go to look for feedback for a lot of reasons. But what I've noticed at Oregon Live is that no one actually uses their real name. Now, you may have a different experience, but I can't tell who is sending the comments. And if I can't tell who's sending the comments, I actually don't know whether they're my constituents.
And that's very fair.
So that's number one. And number two, I asked previously, and I think you were here for this, staff to tell me what's been the experience in other cities? Do they have a fee and how much? And I was struck by the fact that some cities actually charge more for this registration and have a different way of doing it. Can you tell me, because I'm sincerely interested, in what way do you feel that discussing this fee constitutes demonizing landlords? Because I'm sensitive to that issue in part because, to me, this seems like a straightforward issue. We can disagree about what kind of fee and how it's structured. I like to hear people say that there's a better way of doing it. But could you just tell me how, in the course of this discussion about this particular fee, you believe landlords have been demonized?
You know, I think that that's a fair question. I think that the policies of council over the last couple of years have been very negative towards landlords. And I think that maybe the use of demonization was not the correct word to use in that.
Well, if you believe that this commissioner has demonized landlords as part of this discussion, I not only invite you, I insist that you call that out and let me know. Because that I think we can have agreements or disagreements in this room.
Right.
We can have, in this current environment in this country, which I'm getting awfully sick of all the divisiveness and the negativity, we ought to be able to have a conversation. And if you feel put upon or somehow the climate's wrong, if I'm contributing to that, I'm asking you to call me out.
Perfect. I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Daly.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks for coming back again. I remember your previous testimony, and I kind of want to join Commissioner Fish in saying it's not certainly my intent to demonize landlords. Some of my best friends are landlords, but seriously, friends, family, and we do have a number of supporters who are landlords, and I really admire and appreciate the way that you treat and serve your tenants and this kind of exceptional situation you've described. I'm wondering, you know, it's a question for bureau staff, if you have a unit that you don't collect rents on, would you be required to pay the fee? I also can't help but wonder if we could help your tenant connect with some services or supports they may qualify for, especially through the county. My question about your testimony is, why would your friend feel compelled to raise the rent more than 5 times the actual cost of the fee? It's a $60 fee, and $25 a month would be $300 annually.
You know, that, I can't answer that because obviously I can't speak for him.
Yeah.
What I can say is that anytime any commodity, the price of a commodity goes up, that's typically passed on to the end user. If the price of diesel-delivered bread to Fred Meyer's goes up, Fred Meyer's is going to pass that along for a loaf of bread at their store. And that's just typically the way businesses work. I think sometimes, in my opinion, landlords aren't necessarily looked at as small businesses. We're a small business. We're really not any different than any other a mechanic shop or a coffee shop or a restaurant. You know, we're small business people. And I think, in my opinion, the attitude of this council in the last 2 years has been that we're in some way not a small business, that we're something different than that, and that we're not good people, and we are.
I certainly don't want you to leave these chambers thinking that. I was a small business owner for 22 years, and I'd say, in fact, I want landlords to recognize the fact that they are business owners. We hear from a lot of, especially small landlords, who feel like this is a, you know, it's something they do on the side. It's almost more of a hobby or a supplement, and they feel that some of the regulations are forcing them to professionalize in a way they're not right. equipped to do. So I see you as a small business. I just question, you know, I was lucky to be able to double my cost on anything. Granted, I had a bookstore, and books come with a pre-printed price on them. Right. Unfortunately, rental units don't.
Yeah.
But I think that it's hard for me to take a comment, not you, but your friend's comment seriously, because that's just not reasonable.
So can I just to make a point, we're commercial realtors. We deal in small plex properties, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes mostly. 2 years ago, there were, if you could find a dozen duplexes on the market in close in northeast, southeast, or northeast Portland, southeast, the close in zip codes, you'd be lucky to find that. There was none on the market. I checked 2 days ago, there were 61 duplexes on the market in north, northeast, and southeast Portland, close in zip codes. 5 or 6 of those were new product. So, you know, a speculator developer made those, and there were maybe a handful that were outside of 82nd. The rest were all very close to the downtown core. The feedback we get consistently is that the small mom and pops, the people that own a duplex, they own maybe 2 of them, don't want to deal with a lower barrier of entry, with security deposits, with amortization schedules, with rent control, and the sophistication level for them, they've decided to get out. So that takes inventory off the market, and it also adds cost.
Well, I don't think that we can draw a direct correlation between our regulations or policies and changes in the real estate market without adequate data, but I will say there's a plus side to having more housing on the market.
No, I don't disagree with you at all.
And that rental services office will actually help landlords navigate these rule changes. So it kind of supports this item. We should probably move along, but it's been nice.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you for your courtesy.
Yeah, this was a good discussion.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Kathy Rogers. This fee in and of itself may not seem like a huge deal, but I think, as Mark alluded to, coming on the heels of everything else that's been thrown at landlords over the last 2 years, it feels a lot like the straw that's breaking the camel's back. And I think a lot of small landlords feel like all of the costs and fees and complexity are being dumped on the landlord and not shared by the tenant. If this is to support the Rental Services Commission, which I've been in contact with, and as far as I can tell, about 90% of what they do supports tenants. Why are the tenants not paying the fee? How about with every lease renewal, the tenant pays the $60 fee? Why is it 100% paid by landlords, is my first question. With the mandatory renter relocation assistance, the elimination of no-cause notice evictions, rent control, new tenant screening ordinances, which our attorney can't even figure out, and he's a real estate attorney, the security deposit ordinance, the rental registration program, and this has all come on to us in the last 2 years. The URM placarding ordinance, which was overturned in a federal court, and now this, it's very difficult to navigate. And I will tell you that a lot of small landlords are afraid to rent out their properties. They're afraid of being sued. They're afraid of not following the rules. A lot of the single family and duplexes that are being sold are now being purchased by owner occupants. Those are rental units that are being taken off of the market. We never used to raise our rents every year. We have to now. Every year on the anniversary, 100% of the time, we raise our rents to the 100% maximum that we're allowed to do because of the actions taken by this city council. And we never used to do that. So I just want you to think about everything you're throwing at us may be hurting the people you're trying to protect.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Michael Havlick. I'm the Deputy Executive Director for Multifamily Northwest. The members of Multifamily Northwest make up 40% of Oregon's rental housing supply, and as such, we are the leaders in property management and development within the state. Prior to joining Multifamily Northwest, I worked for several property management firms and Home Forward as Director of Asset Management. I have a passion for housing, affordability, and rental services, and I've spent my life dedicated to it. All told, I have 26 years of experience in property management, including conventional multifamily housing, affordable tax credit, public housing, permanent supportive housing, as well as special needs housing. My association members are dismayed with the current rendition of the proposed rental registration fee. It is yet another layer of tax on housing, adding cost to a market already in crisis. Not only is the amount proposed excessive at $60 per unit, but it offends common sense that the implementation of a registration system will cost millions of dollars each year. Commissioner Fish, you asked about fees. For the comparable 200-unit property in Seattle, the fee is $575, or $2.88 a unit, compared to $12,000 for the comparable 200-unit property in the city of Portland. In other words, the city of Portland's rate will be over 20 times the amount of Seattle. We estimate that by year 10 of this fee scheme, the city of Portland will have collected $58 million that will do nothing to create more affordable housing. It's ultimately a tax on renters, impacting those most who have lower incomes and do not have the good fortune of living in regulated affordable housing, which receives the special carve-out. With a housing supply shortage, what rational jurisdiction would mete out punitive disincentives to housing providers? The city of Portland is creating inequity across all rental housing providers by imposing a fee for the sole purpose of funding multiple duplicative programs already implemented or addressed by other better equipped agencies. If you're truly striving to provide solutions to the problem for the lack of affordable housing across the continuum of housing, then you would continue the path outlined by the legislature through House Bill 2001 and 2003, which both work to create diverse, inclusive, and vibrant housing opportunities throughout our city. Additionally, the city should reassess its posture towards housing providers it has demonized over the last several years. These providers are a big piece of the solution, and you should view our members as willing partners in the goal of making housing more affordable and accessible to all Portlanders. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please. Thank you for your testimony.
Are Jill Warren, Chris Wynn, and Margot Black.
Would you like to go ahead and start, please? Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Mayor and commissioners, my name's Jill Warren, and I'm a mom-and-pop landlord in the city of Portland for the past 30 years, and we have 34 units, so at $60 per unit, we'll be paying $2,040 a year to support the program. I just think that's too high, $60 per unit. And I appreciate the previous conversation about the demonization. I feel that some of the mandates that are being brought down by this body is actually, it hurts our industry. Like, for example, that, you know, you don't want us to factor in the criminal background for a tenant. And that's very dangerous. I just screened an applicant, and he had 17 pages of felony convictions, including felon in possession of a firearm, theft, burglary, possession of methamphetamine. And To protect the safety of my tenants, that is my primary goal, is their welfare and their safety. So that's why I screen. I mean, it's all about screening. And also the mandate to pick the first applicant that comes along. I mean, that's not very intelligent to do that. I mean, that's why we screen, is so that, you know, I run a criminal check, I do a background search, I check your credit history and your previous and current landlord referrals. So I just throw that all in a pot and I stir it up, and that's how I determine their eligibility. So I appreciate our discussion on this, and thank you very much.
Thanks for being here.
Mayor.
Commissioner Daly.
If I may, I'm interested in hearing people's feedback on this item, but I can't allow this forum to be used to spread information, misinformation about our policy. We are not requiring landlords to not consider prior convictions. That's a choice. And the first come, first served is first come, first to qualify. We're not requiring landlords to literally rent their units to the first person that applies. So those are two false statements that you made. And I just want to ask everyone else who comes up here to try to avoid spreading misinformation. Let's debate the real issues. Let's debate the policy that's in front of us.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chris Wen. I'm the Director of Operations for Commerce Properties. And
I'm sorry. Bring the mic a little closer. Oh. I couldn't hear you.
Hi, my name is Chris Wen. I'm the Director of Operations for Commerce Properties.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And I want to talk a little bit more about the potential impact of this fee on the market and quality of rental housing in Portland. So we believe that the proposed rental fee will be harmful to Portland renters by reducing new development in low to moderate priced rental housing, producing upward pressure on housing cost, and reducing the quality of existing rental housing. Now, this tax, combined with additional state and local legislation introduced over the last few years, makes it difficult for housing providers to provide affordable housing, and it reduces the incentive to develop new units or keep existing units on the market. A good example of this is my next-door neighbor, who has been occupying his house with his wife and two kids for the last 4 years, is moving out in August because the existing owner, and I don't know the owner's reasoning for putting the house on the market, but it's on the market now. Just wanted to put that out there. The proposed rental fee is essentially a tax on renters. I think we've heard that said a couple times. Since rents inevitably adjust to align with the cost of providing housing, an example of, you can look at, for instance, the current tariffs imposed by the White House, how the cost of consumer goods have exponentially increased because of the tariffs, as an example of what adding any extra fees can do to the end user.
I'm very glad you just said that, because the White House keeps saying that the tariffs are designed to punish the host country, and yet we know that the cost is passed on to the consumer, and we're actually seeing extraordinary inflation in things like, in speculative products like steel. Mm-hmm. The cost that we're bearing as a city in projects where they're using steel are going through the roof, because people are betting that they're going to go way up because of the tariffs, and yet the line out of Washington is tariffs are punishing the host country, not the consumer. So I'm pleased that you brought us back to Economics 101.
I can tell you that I pay $150 more for I pay $78 more for a water heater, a comparable water heater, now than I did before the introduction of those tariffs. So then lastly, the proposed rental fee reduces funds available for maintenance. This tax for the company I work for will have a $27,000 annual impact. This fee could hire a part-time maintenance technician, could allow us to replace 23 carpets, allow us to put appliances in 16 apartment homes. So this means that many housing providers will have to choose they'll have to pay fees with funds that they would have normally used to improve or maintain existing housing.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Margot Black. I'm from Portland Tenants United, a registered lobby organization with the City of Portland. I'm also a member of the Rental Services Commission. I'm here to testify today in support of rental registration fee with some minor reservations, but I'm going to bypass most of my testimony just to respond to a couple of the concerns that I've heard come before Council so far. And one, Commissioner Fritz, just so you know, fees are strictly regulated by the state, and the landlords of Portland would not be able to explicitly pass this fee on in their lease as a fee. However, I just got a 90-day notice for $150 rent increase that will start this November. I'll be paying $150 every single month. One of the reasons my landlord gave me for that was increased fees by City Council. I'm not even sure if she knows about this one yet. She could pay that fee twice every single month. And that's something we have to remember, is that rents are still allowed to go up by 10% or more every year, and our median rents are around $1,500 a month, which means they'll be going up by about $150 a month. And frankly, as a tenant, every time we hear about tenant protections or things that are going to help tenants, costing us money and ultimately hurting us, when my rent can already go up by hundreds of dollars a month, I would much rather some of that money be going to the city to provide programs and services for renters than just going in my landlord's pocket. The other thing I wanted to come up and talk about today was the expanded rental registration system, and make sure that council understands that this fee is currently covering a very limited bare bones rental registration system, as was already discussed earlier by folks from the Housing Bureau. I want to remind council how limited that system is and how not useful it is in solving the problems that this rental registration system is supposed to be able to solve. We need to collect data on rents. We need to collect data on vacancy and turnover, on size of units, on no-cause and for-cause evictions, rent increases, late fees, which tenants are charged, often in excess of $60 a month, which again is far more than this fee will be charged to to landlords. So please support this fee, but vote for this fee, but please remember what work hasn't been done and who is not being protected and whose needs aren't being met until we have that expanded rental registration system in place, which was promised, which is needed, and which is not being met yet with our current system and with this fee. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please, Carmen.
Are Alan Hines, Nico Serra, and Pam Fan.
Good afternoon.
Alan, yeah, I wanted to make sure you all got his written testimony so you can follow along.
I will have a mentor to support people like this to find his sense of having. I will try to assess the critical need for the assessment of registry and encourage council to hourly funding for this system as soon as possible. I am going to share a story of a participant in my organization as to illustrate why we need a registry and to collect more information about accessible housing. The participant secures a grant to cover housing recently, the grant was for $450, which is about 65% of my time. And once the grant was awarded, I was participant had a time frame to find the houses for her and her kid. Over the course of 7 weeks, we searched various housing websites, property management websites, the participant each Facebook groups and Craigslist. We were searching all over the place to find this person accessible, even for themselves and their kids. It was 6 weeks into the process before we were able to find a unit that worked for them, and that was all only because the participant was able to find a unit that had not been listed as available. They got really lucky. So my conclusion is that we need to be able to know when the accessible units are in the city. We have no idea right now. It's a needle in a historic situation to find accessible housing. So I want to encourage this body to really support the expanded rental registry so that we can collect this data and know where the units are that we need. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
All right. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, afternoon. Commissioners. My name is Nico Sara. I'm a white passing, mixed race, queer, and transgender person with disabilities. I use they pronouns. I volunteer with people with disabilities as a board member at Real Choice Initiative with Alan. I'm here to show my support for the rental registry and talk about the critical need for the fully funded, publicly accessible, expanded rental registry that includes accessibility and price ranges for each unit, which, as I understand from your comments, Mayor Wheeler, is going to be included in the fall bump. All right.
I can't commit that on behalf of the council, but there will certainly be a proposal that I'll put forward.
So when I arrived in Portland back in 2010, I was a rock climber, a hiker, a snowboarder, among other things, but that all changed with one bicycle ride about 6 weeks after I got here. Although I was doing everything right, I was wearing a helmet, I was following the rules, I was in the right place on the road, I was looking around and aware of my surroundings, a person driving a station wagon wasn't paying attention, and he hit me when I was riding my bicycle, and he kept driving and turned a corner. I just barely missed hitting my head on an electrical box when I fell to the ground. The timing of moving to a new state and being hit by a car was made so much worse as the most supportive member of my family, my father, was killed in a high-profile plane crash just a few years earlier, and I had just started my transition from female to male. Like most queer and transgender people of color, I was essentially disowned by my family regardless of the fact I had just been hit by a car. In just a few minutes, my life was forever changed. I never understood the importance of accessible housing until I had to crawl around on my hands and knees and scoot around on my bottom to access 5 of the 8 bedrooms that I've lived in here in Portland. I've had to leave my power wheelchair outside where it once became infested with rats. It was disgusting and unbearable, and I couldn't clean it every time I needed to go out, so it smelled bad everywhere I went. I spent hundreds of dollars creating makeshift ramps to get wheelchairs inside, only to be told that when I got a prescription for a power wheelchair, Medicare Medicaid law says that you have to have an ADA accessible unit in order to get your power chair. So I had to wait years to get that. And I appreciate you giving me some extra time here. Thank you. I can't tell you how frustrating it is to pay $800 a month to live in a unit I can't actually use. These stories of making do are abundant in the disability community, and we live through these humiliating experiences because there's no way for us to find housing that we can afford. The rental registry is a tool that will help the most vulnerable people at just $5 a month, 60 divided by 12. It's $5 a month. In addition to tracking these units, the registry would tell us where the housing stock is and provide us essential data to tell us what policy decisions need to be made in the future to create more accessible housing. Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, I assure you my story is not unique. Any one of you or your family members could be in my shoes tomorrow. In fact, when we talk to your staffers and lobbyists and with the landlords, every single group that we talked with had a story about a family member that needed accessible housing. So I'm here to ask, if we all know that we need this accessible housing, can we at least start tracking where it is? We all need it. So I encourage everyone in the room to think about people in their family or their friends that need this accessible, affordable housing. We deserve to live lives of dignity just like you. When you will get to the point where your bodies will change and you will need it too. Disability disproportionately affects people of color and other vulnerable populations. We need this registry. In fact, the expanded version with accessibility pricing will be very helpful for us, and I'm excited to hear that you will be bringing this forward in the fall bump. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Carla, how many more folks do we have signed up? Thank you both.
Four more at least.
Okay, very good.
Before I call the next three, was there a Pam on Northeast 63rd? Oh, Pam. And then we'll go with Jessica Greenlee, Sarah Iannarone, and Mary Seid.
Jessica, do you want to go ahead and start, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jessica Greenlee, and I'm with Affinity Property Management. And I just wanted to point out a couple of things regarding the rental registration fee that I have some concerns around after hearing a lot about this in the Rental Services Commission. One being that a third of the cost for the rental registration fee is being dedicated just to administrative and software costs. Right now, there is not a line item in here for inspections, which is where the majority of rental registration fees typically go in other cities, and I'm sure that is a program that eventually will be rolled out. So we're definitely starting at the high end at a $60 mark for a per unit fee. The other major concern that I have is that this is rolling out at the same time as properties are incurring a lot of other additional expenses associated with legislative changes. This fee represents about 10 to 15% of the overall increase in costs that properties will bear due to some of the changes regarding the screening criteria and the security deposit ordinance. And rolling this out at the same time is definitely adding to that level of burden and making it that much more challenging for performers to work out for new supply. Also, the fact that it's essentially charging for the past year, so it's going into effect as a retroactive fee. So those are just some things that I hope that you would consider as you look at this proposal. It's obviously there are some great services and programs that the rental services officers are operating and that there'll be expanded need in the future. And so fully focusing on funding the rental services office just through a registration fee, I think, is quite likely not feasible when you look at the expansion of what those program needs will be in the future.
Thank you for coming in. Sarah, you want to go ahead?
Yes. Hi, my name's Sarah Iannarum. Nice to see you all. I'm here to testify in support of the proposed $60 per unit fee, but with caveats. To ensure an adequate housing stock, municipalities need to be able to design and implement policy driven by best practices based on complete data. I appreciate what we've done so far to have landlords register with the city and file business taxes, but we need to think beyond that. I appreciate the effort to create a permanent funding stream via the proposed flat registration fee maintaining rental services office, but there's an opportunity here for us to move the rental registration program out of the half-kept promises column and start collecting all of the necessary data we need to ensure an adequate supply of the right mix of affordable rental housing in our city. I'm hoping that City Council will approve this fee when it comes up for a vote, recognizing it is not nearly sufficient. We need to circle back on this in the fall bump, thanks for your commitment to that, Mayor Wheeler, and aggressively expand the rental registration program, making investments in the software, program administration to fund the additional data collection that we need. State-level policy hinges on us setting up a system that provides the right information that we need, but we're not collecting. If Portland is going to be serious about realizing the right mix of rental housing supply, we need to move beyond the base funding and gather expanded data for our decision-making. So please, support what we're doing today, but don't stop there. You need to commit to implementing via the fall bump the robust data collection mechanism and a public-facing dashboard that delivers to our community the vital information we need for a thorough understanding of the rental landscape in our community.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Sipe. I support this fee. I'm very much in support of the rental services office, and I've heard a lot of really good testimony today and a lot of really good feedback. And in the past, it's been my observation on most of these ordinances that you've been working on, especially relating to rental tenants and landlords, that you've taken feedback and you've gone back to the drawing board and you've amended and you've made changes and you've modified. And I can see where I think some the testimony today gives you the opportunity to maybe go back and work on this a little bit more and address some of the issues and concerns. I was sitting here kind of thinking, you know, how do you come up with the $60 fee? And to me, you need to identify really how much funding do you need. Is the first year going to be the most money because of the technology that you need to buy? And then you kind of back into how much the fee needs to be once you know how much money you need to have. So I just want to encourage you to, once again, I definitely want to see this move forward. You know, we're talking about $60. I was confused because on one hand people are talking about passing this on to the tenant, and then on the other hand I hear that it can't be passed on to the tenant. So I think need some clarity there, and again, I just want to support it and ask you to do your due diligence once again.
Thank you. Commissioner Udaly.
Mary, the distinction is the landlords can't add a $60 fee to the lease, but they can certainly roll it into a rent increase.
That's, yeah, that's what I thought.
Within the constraints of the local and state.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. Was there one more person, Carla?
Yes. Last person was Katrina Holland.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Greetings, Council Members. Mayor Wheeler. Thank you for the opportunity to... Oh, for the record, my name is Katrina Holland, Executive Director of Community Alliance of Tenants. Again, thank you for the opportunity to sit before you today to talk about rental registration. I'm pretty sure you will not be surprised to know that CAT is very supportive of this effort, both when it comes to the fact that we will finally have a reliable source of information available to collect and understand housing data within the City of Portland, and when it comes to the fee. However, as I did voice in the Rental Services Commission meeting, we think that it is absolutely imperative that we understand that this fee in comparison to what the city needs is actually really low. Considering the degree of programming members of the RSC are advising on and asking for to support the rental market, again, this fee is very low. When it comes to the variety of services that both landlords and tenants are asking from the city, we don't believe that $60 per door would cover the cost, considering the degree of revenue options available to us from the state and from local government. I'm just not sure where the extra money is realistically going to come from to support these critical asks for services requested again by both landlords and tenants. Assessing this fee also makes sense because we will start to lessen the burden of taxpayers, footing most of the, if not all the bills that the city currently incurs in supporting landlords and tenants to understand their rights. It is a common argument that we hear from managers that the externalities caused by the rental market should be mitigated by government intervention, even if the direct benefit to market actors materializes in a way that is individual or for a select few. The cost to provide requested programming is very expensive, and to expect taxpayers to continue footing most of the bill has been necessary because we had no choice, but now that this option exists, I think that it makes sense. We also think it's unfair to make services for half the population in Portland who are renters and an unknown amount of landlords rely on volatile, non-guaranteed, politically fraught, one-time funding mechanisms when we know that these critical services are needed on an ongoing basis. Existing landlords and tenants need information on their rights for housing education and enforcement is critical on both ends, and serving our most vulnerable populations who have little to no access to legal support only makes sense. So, we support this fee. We hope that, thank you for your commitment to evaluate whether it is enough. We do hope that this fee goes up, given the actual cost that it's going to cost to maintain services requested by both landlords and tenants. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. That completes testimony. This is a first reading, so we're going to move it. Is there anything else before we do so? Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you, everyone who testified today.